Good evening again. Welcome to our Hanging of the Green service. It is a joy and a blessing to be with you tonight. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here. Brother Hammond Evans is with us as well. And I think Brother Tom Weir, not Brother Tom Evans, might be running around here somewhere as well. Please stand as you are able and join me for our call to worship. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains and shall be raised above the hill. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come to say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways and that we may walk in God's paths."
Please remain standing for our invitation. I just want to say that my granddad's name was Tom Evans, and I'm always confused anyway. And then my dad's name was Nick, and so anytime I hear Brother Nick, I think my dad. Anyway, yeah, that's true. How can we prepare? Hey, this is the loopy time of day. So who knows what will happen during the Hanging of the Greens? You're going to be so glad you stayed. How can we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the King? With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the eternal Christ? With garlands of wreaths of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, our Savior? With arrangements of holly and ivy, symbolizing his passion, death, and resurrection. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God? By hearing again the words of the prophets who foretold the saving work of God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All glory to God in the highest. I invite you to be seated as Lauren Hall comes to share our first scripture lesson.
Hello, can y'all hear me? God will send a righteous king. I'll be reading from Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line, and he will rule as a wise king. He will do what is just and right in the land. During his lifetime, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety, and his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. In ancient times, the cedar was revered as the tree of royalty. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. We decorate our sanctuary with evergreens as a sign of Christ who reigns as King forever and whose coming in justice and righteousness will purify our hearts. The Advent wreath is a vivid symbol of preparation. The lighting of a new candle each of the 4 weeks before Christmas reminds us that something is happening but more is yet to come. The circle of evergreens reminds us of the everlasting covenant offered in the birth of Jesus. The four candles symbolize hope, peace, joy, and love. Today we light the first candle as a symbol of Christ, our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation.
It's on page 196 of your hymnal. We're going to sing verse 1.
Thank you.
Prophet Isaiah.
This reading's from Isaiah 9, verses 2 and verses 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. Because the needles of pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang wreaths of garlands shaped in a circle, which itself has no end, to signify the eternal reign of Jesus the Christ.
I'd now like to invite Rachel Hoff and Meg Byers up here for two more readings from the prophet Isaiah.
Isaiah 43-5. A voice cries out into the wilderness. A voice is crying out, "Clear the Lord's way in the desert. Make a highway in wilderness for God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth has commanded it." We have placed the Advent pyramids, which are blue, a royal color, to remind us of the King of Kings who came before the light of the world.
The next reading will come from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6, the fourth servant song. Who can believe what we have heard, and for whose sake has the Lord's arm been revealed? He grew up like a young plant before us, like a root from dry ground. He possessed no splendid form for us to see, no desirable appearance. He was despised and avoided by others, a man who suffered, who knew sickness well. Like someone from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we didn't think about him. It was certainly our sickness that he carried, and our sufferings that he bore. But we thought him afflicted, struck down by God and tormented. He was pierced because of our rebellions and crushed because of our crimes. He bore the punishment that made us whole. By his wounds, we are healed. Like sheep, we had all wandered away, each going its own way. But the Lord let fall on him all our crimes. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggested the crown of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. As we hang the holly and ivy, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. The holly bears a berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to do poor sinners good. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir.
Amen. I'd like to now invite Ryan O'Banion up here to offer us another word from the prophet Isaiah. He'll be reading from chapter 53.
After his deep anguish, he will see light, and he will be satisfied. Through his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous and will bear their guilt. Therefore, I will give him a share with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. In return for exposing his life to death and being not numbered with the rebels, through he carried the sin of many and pleaded on behalf of those who rebelled. Every part of the Christmas poinsettia symbolizes an important aspect of the life of Christ, his birth, death, and resurrection. The star-shaped formation of which the leaf represents the star that guided the wise men on their long journey to Bethlehem for one purpose, to worship a king. The crown of the flowers reminds us that this baby was born to be a king, not just for a time, but for all time. The blood-red leaves foreshadow the cruelty of his death, but the leafy green carpet beneath the crimson leaves reminds us that the power of death has been abolished and we can celebrate his victorious resurrection. Jesus is more than just our king. He is our Savior, and the hope that we have him in him is reflected in Flower of the Holy Night.
Thank you. I now invite you to stand as we sing the next carol, Lo, How a Rose Ever Blooming. We'll be on page 216 of your hymnal. We'll be reading verse 1, or singing verse 1. I'd like to invite Kathy Robbins and Carolee Ford as they come up and talk to us about the meaning of the Christmas.
This is the history of the Christmas. The word Christmas is a combination of the words Christ and monogram and have been adopted to refer to Christmas tree ornaments that have been developed to display symbols of Christ. Francis Kipps Spencer was born to missionary parents in Japan, and her father was a Lutheran minister. In 1957, at the age of 40, she was concerned about having appropriate decorations for the Christmas tree at her church and made the first chrismon ornaments for the Ascension Lutheran Church in Danville, Virginia. Through this church, patterns were made available and the idea of having a chrismon tree spread. Based on ancient monograms, the designs included Greek symbol abbreviations and crosses that honored Jesus Christ and his teachings. Mrs. Spencer chose the white and gold colors to represent Christ's purity and God's majesty. The evergreen tree backdrop symbolizes the eternal life Christ offers his followers. The tree's white lights proclaim Christ's role as the light of the world.
A few days ago, Brother Hammett asked me if I knew anything about the history of the chrismons at Asbury, and I didn't, but I'm so glad he asked me because I've learned a great story, and you're all going to love this. The first chrismon tree at Asbury was started in the early to mid 1970s by the youth group at Asbury's previous location that we've talked about tonight, 12th and Schiller, and the youth director was Becky Burgess. And Smitty, with Smitty along her side to help her with everything, and Claudette and George Sirks were the youth counselors at the time. And I learned from Becky that the youth group made the beaded chrismons that we still use today. All the beaded ones that are on the tree were made almost 50 years ago by our youth, which I think is so neat. But the crown was always placed on the top of the tree, and we have the crown right here, by Johnny Hogue, who some of you may know, and his parents were John and Pinky Hogue, who were in the Robert Moore class. But Becky said the youth spent many hours over several years making these ornaments, and she also said that the boys enjoyed beading them as much as the girls did. But during this time, they used a real tree, and after Christmas, the trunk of the tree was made into a cross, which stood bare on a table in the entrance of the Sunday school department until Easter, at which time it was wrapped with flowers symbolic of new life in the risen Christ. So that's a great story, and thank you, Becky and Claudette, for that. We also have the cross-stitch chrismons, which were done by the Altar Guild in 2012 under the leadership of Pat Anderson, and 24 members of the church cross-stitched these ornaments, and the Altar Guild put them together, so you can see those too. But we're going to have five of the children of our church to come up and place some chrismons on the tree, and Carol Lee, and we're going to just briefly describe each of these examples. The Chiro and the Alpha and Omega. The Chiro, the XP, is the Greek symbol for Christ and are the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. Chiro and Alpha and Omega together represent Christ along with Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The triquetra and circle, the endless circle suggests eternity. The triquetra, the figure composed of three separate and equal arcs, symbolizes the one God who showed himself to man in three separate and distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the fish representing the Savior was used as a sign by early Christians, and the Greek letters at the top are for Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the Savior. And then the crown, which was the crown that was on the top of the tree years ago, symbolizes the kingship of Christ and his victory over sin and death, the King of Kings. And the butterfly symbolizes the resurrection and life everlasting for the believer.
Yes, sir, you can say whatever you want.
So, Kathy showed you a Chiro, which is This is the Greek letter chi, and the P looking thing is the Greek letter rho. Those are the first two letters in Christ, if you wrote it out in Greek. And I just want to point out that the chi is the X in Xmas. So next time somebody says, if somebody spells Xmas or Christmas Xmas, they're not really taking the Christ out of Christmas. It's just a very old school abbreviation for the name Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. That's all I had. That's it.
That, sir, is all we need. But this from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not extinguish the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, we light the Christmas tree. During this Advent, wherever you see a lighted Christmas tree, remember the one who brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him. Amen. I now invite you to stand as we sing our final carol of the evening, Joy to the World. It's on page 246. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
My goodness. I am challenged. I am an old preacher's kid. My brother and I wrote the book on that. I have a lot to teach you about being a PK. It's all about, yeah, but your mother won't let me teach you those things.
No, let's disobey the rules. Not tonight.
We're going off script.
I told y'all. It's been a long, wonderful day, man. It's been a long, wonderful day. I want to say thank you so much to everyone who helped with everything tonight. I just saw Mary Noble slip in the back, and Mary and Hannah Shelton helped coordinate the meal tonight. Let's give them a sign of our appreciation. And of course, brother Nick and Kathy Robbins and Carolee all helped with this service, and we want to show our appreciation to them. Thank you so much. It's perfect. And We are so, I know this was kind of different, but we really wanted to do an Advent dinner and a hanging of the greens, and we knew we wanted to dedicate the building. I know it's a little weird, you know, in some ways, but thank you so much for being a part of it. I know, I hope you appreciated it, enjoyed it, and felt God's presence with us tonight. Amen. Would you please receive this benediction? And this is a responsive benediction, so the words are for us in our bulletin. Go forth from this place, an awakened people, aware of the world's darkness, yet reaching for the light. We see God at work in our world, and that makes all the difference. Go forth from this place, expectant people, conscious of judgment in our midst, yet welcoming God's new order and justice. We welcome God's new day, believing that Christ will set us free. Go forth from this place, a serving people, sensing anew the pain so many bear, yet confident God will bring healing even through you. We open ourselves as channels of God's grace, for we have heard the good news and we have been empowered to share it. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed night.